Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
GEICO's offering an extra 15% credit car, motorcycle, RV policies. October 7th, the day you got to get it, though. Visit GEICO.com. Eric Dickerson is one of the great running backs in the history of the National Football League. That's indisputable. The overall number two pick at a SMU flourished around the NFL, especially with the Rams. Now he's part of that organization and a part of Fox as well. The Hall of Famer joining us, Eric Dickerson. So let's just start with this. Last year, I felt that the Rams were walking on eggshells with the Gurley situation. It just kind of, they weren't bad. They were 9-7, Eric, but it unraveled a little bit. It just didn't feel right. Then I watch them against the Cowboys, and I don't know exactly what it was, but it was one team in one direction. What did they do that you liked that maybe they didn't do at the end of last year?
Well, one thing I liked is they were able to get the ball out of Jared Goff's hands very quickly. And I think that was been one of the problems. And I think since he came in the National Football League, he holds the ball too long. And McVay did a great job on Monday night with the Cowboys. I mean, if you watch the time clock, it was 0.1 seconds, 2.2 seconds, 1.088 seconds. I mean, and when you've got a team that can get to the quarterback very quickly, like the Cowboys can, and you get the ball out of the quarterback's hands very fast, it helps a lot. And the Rams did something that I didn't see coming. They ran the football.
Yeah.
I mean, they ran the football 40 times, and that was kind of like unlike them. And I think for Sean McVay, and I think not having Todd Gurley, not having that pressure, I like them having Todd, but not having the pressure of saying, look, I've got a $15 million running back here. I've got to get him the ball. I don't have to worry about that now. I've got three backs that they're splitting time. I can do what I want to do. I can throw the football. If I want to run it, I can run it when I want to. So I got to say, they did a great job on Monday night, you know, just spreading that ball around.
So Bruce Arians calls out Tom Brady. Did you like being called out? What do you make of it?
You know what? Sometimes you can call a player out. I mean, if it's warranted, for sure. I mean, you can call a player out. I mean, I don't have a problem with it. I don't think any player likes to be yelled at and screamed at and being pointed in his face. And I know Tom Brady for sure doesn't, because, you know, he's just that kind of player. He's going to give you all he has, but you know, sometimes you have to call a guy out. I mean, it's not because you want to. It's because you don't want the other players to feel like, hey, well, he did it, and I did it, but he calls me out. He didn't call him out. So, you know, you don't want to play favorites, but sometimes you have favorites because, you know, a different levels of play.
You know, Eric, it's interesting. I remember when Dak broke into the league and they had Dez Bryant. And Dez was a little bit needy. You know, he wanted the ball. And I thought to myself, I don't like Dak being forced as a rookie quarterback to throw to Dez. And it's funny with Baker and OBJ. We know OBJ is talented. That's not the issue. But sometimes with young quarterbacks, they feel they have to feed the star receiver. And I'm not sure in your career if you ever had that with a young quarterback. You feel the pressure of, I've got a Hall of Fame level talent. I got to get him the ball. Like, I think Baker and OBJ doesn't feel natural to me. It always feels forced. Do you buy that? Did you ever feel that with people in your career?
Well, no. I mean, because, you know, we were running football team. And for me, sometimes I was happy when we threw the football. I mean, elated, like, wow, we can actually throw the football. But, you know, Colin, what you're saying, I said a year ago, I said that I really think they should trade OBJ because, you know, I think Landry he's a top receiver. And I think it's pressure. It's the pressure that we have to get him the ball. And, you know, pretty much, especially receivers, they'll come back to the huddle and they'll pout. Not all of them, but some will pout. Like, man, I'm open. Get me the ball, man. I'm open. Or they'll give you that look. And that's why the pressure comes on a young quarterback like a Baker Mayfield. And he wants to try to make everyone happy. And you can't. You have to do what's best for your football team.
Yeah. When you watched Dallas the other night against the Rams, and I've seen this. I saw it with the Rams last year a little. I saw it with Philadelphia. When you have six or seven huge contracts, it's a salary cap league. You got to give up somewhere, and that give up is depth. And what happens is, last year the Rams had two or three injuries, and the next man up's not any good. And I look at Dallas now, and I got Van Der Esch is out, and now your tight end is out, and the center already left, Travis Frederick. And I look at him, and I think to myself, they don't have a ton of depth. They got 7-8 massive contracts there. And I said the other day, if Tyron Smith, the USC kid, the left tackle, if he got hurt, I think this season for Dallas could unravel. Am I overreacting on that? What do you see with Dallas?
No, not at all. I see Dallas has a lot of talent on offense, a lot of talent. The offensive line is not what it was when Zeke first came in the league. I think people have this misconception that Dallas has this great offensive line. They don't. I mean, they're good at best. They're beat up a lot. But, you know, when you have the weapons that they have on offense, you've got Gallup, you've got Zeke, you've got Dak. I mean, you've got a plethora of weapons, and the thing is can you use them all? When I looked at this football game, McCarthy did a good job because he didn't have a preseason. You know, he doesn't know this team that well. I mean, Dallas to me has a lot of weapons, but are they going to get to use them? It's only one football out there. Zeke wants the ball. Amari Cooper wants the ball. Michael Gallup wants the ball. Everybody wants that football, but you only have one ball, and that's what it comes down to. The main thing when I saw the Cowboys is that when they went to like a 2-minute, like a rush offense,
yeah,
they gave the Rams some problems. It was almost like when you watch the Bills of the 90s with Jim Kelly. If they'd have stayed in that offense most of the time, I think that they would have beat the Rams. I really do, because the Rams had no answer for all the guys they had, because Dak was getting the ball to everyone. But they went back to the old way of, we're going to run it on first down. We might have second and eight, first and nine. So, this Cowboy football team, they haven't been together long enough. The coach hasn't been there. McCarthy hasn't been there. It's his first year. And I think not having a preseason, people don't like preseason, players don't like preseason, but I'm telling you, you need that preseason to just get acclimated to everything, because everything is timing, you know, running the football and throwing the football.
So Cam Newton, I got to be honest, I thought Cam and Belichick was oil and water, you know, Mr. Personality and Mr. You Can't Have a Personality. Are you a little surprised, Eric, that it's been pretty good so far?
Well, first of all, it's the first game. I mean, you know, we don't know what's going to happen in week 7 or week 8. Not really, because, you know, the thing I like about Bill Belichick, he will take what you give him. If you're going to give me the run, I'm going to run the football. If you're going to give me the pass, I'm going to pass the football. He has a quarterback now that is a mobile quarterback. He didn't have that in Tom Brady. Cam has a strong arm. He hasn't been as accurate in the last couple of years, but the year they went to the Super Bowl, he was very accurate. So I feel like with Bill Belichick, whatever you give him, he's going to be able to work with that. As you saw, Cam ran the ball 15 times, I think, for 74 yards. Had another 15 passes for 150-something yards. So what you give Bill, he'll work with.
Yeah. Finally, you know, the personality thing is funny with Cam. I didn't see you as a big personality guy. Were most coaches when you played okay with personality? Would like Bill looks like he's shifted a little bit. Were they okay with it, or are most old guys just grumpy and they don't want personality?
Well, a lot of old coaches, you know, they want you to just keep coded down a little bit. I mean, that wasn't me. You know, I didn't dress like Cam. I wasn't a Cam kind of. I wasn't that kind of player. Like, you know, I'm flamboyant. But in today's National Football League, that's what it is. I mean, guys want to be seen. And Bill Belichick, I think he's trying to like, look, I'm going to try to go along with this. As long as you're winning, I say, Colin, as long as you're winning football games, you can come in with a donkey head on. It doesn't make a difference. It's cool. The donkey head is great as long as you're winning. But when you start losing, the donkey head ain't funny no more.
By the way, who was flamboyant in your time? Who was?
I came with that. Lawrence Taylor was kind of flamboyant. He was kind of crazy. That was my guy. He was kind of crazy. He was crazy flamboyant, I'd say.
Yeah, he was a little more on the crazy than flamboyant, maybe. Eric Dickerson, the Hall of Famer. It's great seeing you.
Good seeing you.
Good stuff. Yeah, week one. So tomorrow, God, I love this now. Tomorrow I get Baker and Burrow. Isn't that amazing?
It's going to be great.
It really is going to be great. It's fantastic.
Oh, and if Cincinnati wins, I might be as bad as Nick Wright. Oh. I don't have a right to be that bad, but
I've never really, I mean, I've been critical of Baker Mayfield. I've been critical. Nobody disputes that.
Yeah.
If he loses tomorrow night, what's Friday's show? Do I get one take the gloves off? Can I go octagon one time on Baker? Because this
it depends on how it depends on how the game goes. But I mean, I do not think it's exaggerating to say it's a must-win game for Cleveland.
I really do think I've been fair with Baker. Like, I could have crushed him all last year.
Recently, you have been, yes.
Recently. Let me tell you something. He loses to Cincinnati, has 2-3 picks. Oh, my Lord. I'll be like Nick Wright today, who was relentless. Nick, I'm not even sure Nick Wright. He looked like he was 9 Red Bulls in and was just.
Oh, he's he's high off life right now.
He is. By the way, feel more energized and lean. Boost healthy testosterone. Try M-Drive Boost and Burn. Check out mdriveformen.com. Enjoy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Nick Wright's being petty.
Yeah, no, we all get a little petty.
Well, I am queen petty. And Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum went full petty.
They did?
Yesterday.
What?
So NBA Twitter was ablaze last night, you can imagine. There's some bad blood between the Clippers and the Blazers from earlier in the bubble. Remember, Dame missed 2 big free throws late in the game against LA, and Patrick Beverley and Paul George were joking that Portland would be leaving soon, saying Cancun on 3. Well, they did not forget. And Dame and CJ McCollum had some fun when the Clippers were eliminated last night. First, McCollum tweeted, "Yo, Dame, you got an extra villa and available in Cabo." To which Lillard replied with a bunch of laughing emojis. Then McCollum continued with, "I wonder if they packed before the game. If they fly private, they can get to Mexico for sure. Should probably get the big jets." He added, "I'm shocked. I thought there was no way they would lose this series. I honestly can't believe it." And then he capped off his rant with, "They did vote they didn't want to play no more, but I didn't think it was going to go out like that." So they were living life last night as the Clippers got eliminated in pretty dramatic fashion.
It looked, you know, like Nick Wright kept saying all year, he's like, could they play 3 great games in a row? It should have been more obvious to me, but I just kept going back to LeBron's got an old team, and the rest of them are a bunch of kids. They're going to figure this thing out.
You know, for all this talk about the Clippers and what you could see all year, and I agree with you, really bad night for load management. Nobody's going to be tolerant of that moving forward, so that's off the table for everyone.
Yeah.
Including Kawhi.
You can miss game. You can miss 6 stars. I'm not saying stars can't miss games.
No,
not,
the people are still going to sit out. But to explain
20
large,
games.
Yeah, that's not going to work anymore. But come on. I mean, they collapsed.
They
did. There was no big point. I mean, other than Nick Wright, who is obviously right and deserves his flowers. Like, he was correct, okay? But it's not like everyone was crazy about how good the Clippers were this year. They were great this year. They have a ton of talent, and they melted down.
And they had huge leads.
Yes, they blew it. Like, listen, they didn't. It's not that they didn't have the talent. It's not that they didn't have the Hall of Fame coach. It's not that they weren't looking great throughout the bubble.
They were healthy.
And this year, they were healthy. They had some... Listen, they had an all-time meltdown.
Greg Norman's the only time in my life I really felt comfortable saying, and I think Greg would admit it, he choked at the Masters. He just literally got nervous. I didn't even want to say Chris Webber did in college. Remember that timeout? Because he's a kid. There was confusion on the bench. The coach, he should have told him we had no timeouts. This felt, and I hate saying the word, it felt like a gag.
I don't like to say it either. It was. It was an all-time choke.
Worst team choke in a series ever.
You have too much talent on that team.
All
you have
healthy.
Too much hype. You bought into it. You pushed into and leaned into the hype this year.
Wow.
So for Paul George to say they didn't have championship expectations, they absolutely did. Everyone was picking them, including myself, to win the championship. This was a choke. It's not crazy that we picked them. They should have won this game. And that's no knock on the Nuggets. The Nuggets have been incredible.
Yep,
they did something historic coming back from 3-1 twice.
Yes.
Love it, but the Clippers definitely choked. Baker Mayfield and Joe Burrow will face off tomorrow night in Thursday Night Football, and Baker gave some praise to his rookie opponent ahead of the big division matchup.
Oh, I hear this.
From the games that I saw him play last year, very decisive, gets the ball out, gives these guys a chance. Real smooth, kind of a, you know, looks like a field general back there. And, you know, obviously, I think unbelievably talented guy, but I think his teammates love him, and they really fight for him. That's what you can tell on TV.
Fox Bet has the Browns favored by 6 against the Bengals. You've already bet this game.
I'm not going to say the amount I have already bet on the Browns.
Oh, so that means you love the Browns in this game.
This is my favorite. First of all, last week I told you I love the Rams over Dallas. Okay. This is my favorite bet of the year so far. This is my lock of the year. Now we're only in week two. I love Cleveland.
This is dangerous for Cleveland because if you're that sincere about it.
No, I really like Cleveland.
And I don't know how I feel about this game. If you like Cleveland that much and you put more than your usual bet on them and you're calling it the lock of the year and they come out and blow it tomorrow night.
Okay, when's the last time I bet a lot? Remember?
Yep.
Clemson over Ohio State. Remember that? The whole world liked it. It was the best Big Ten team of all time. And I said, Clemson's got more good players. They'll win. It's my biggest bet since then. Yeah, I'm not lying.
Browns lose, you're going to be... There's not anything I can say to calm me down.
So I bet $50. I'm a $50 guy.
Right.
$50 to $100. I'm not going to ruin my life, but I'd like free margaritas if I win. Enough to go take my wife to a dinner, get a burrito, some margaritas, and dance the night away. But I'm not betting huge money. It's a big one. Mm. Yeah.
It's dangerous. Finally, the Big Ten will play football this fall.
Let's hear it for the Big Ten. I have no idea if it's going to unravel, but congratulations.
Well, it was announced today that the conference will start their 2020 season on October 24th, the weekend of October 24th. They cited daily testing capabilities and stronger confidence in the latest medical information as the reason for their return. Each team is set to play 8 games in 8 weeks, with the Big Ten championship taking place on December 19th. Happy for the kids and the staff.
I don't know how it's going to turn out.
We don't know how any of these things are going to turn out.
Big 12 had 3 postponements, cancellations or postponements already.
Look, it's college. There's young men, and it's on a campus. It's a very uncontrolled environment. It's not professional athletes. Daily testing is super important.
Some of these college campuses, they've opened up bars. College, 20-year-old guy, college campus. I mean, I have no idea what's going to happen.
It's going to take ultimate discipline from these college athletes. And I have faith in them because we've seen it work in the pros. It's just going to take a lot of discipline and a lot of accountability within the team and with the coaches to make it happen. And even with that, you know, you can get it at the grocery store. So it's very complicated. No. I feel more comfortable, though, that they have daily testing because I do believe, and I'm not a doctor, but I do believe, having watched what the other leagues have done, that is huge. As Joel Klatt said earlier, when you get a positive test, to isolate and not allow it to take over your team.
Like, I don't think everybody that gets COVID is irresponsible. I don't.
No.
I think you can get, I mean, you can, it's rare, but you can get it off surfaces. There are people that get COVID that did everything virtually right. So there's going to be some kids that get it. I don't think we should attack the kids. Now, in the NBA bubble, where nobody has it, then it's on you. But the rest of us who are not in a bubble, you can catch COVID and do everything right.
Right.
You walk by somebody, they sneeze, and, you know, boom. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
All right. Overreaction or nah? Best for last today. What are we overreacting to? And what potentially is absolutely real after week one in the NFL? That's coming up next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Nick Wright, Joel Klatt, Drew Bledsoe, Eric Dickerson. Great show today. So today we're playing a game. You know, week one is classic overreaction, but there are things you see in week one and you say, oh, that'll stick. So we're going to play. The game is called Correct or Crazy. Which one of these statements feels right and which one is out there? You ready to go?
Let's do it. Tom Brady is too old to lead the Bucs to the playoffs. Correct or crazy?
That's crazy.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
He won an MVP 3 years ago. He won a Super Bowl past 40. And you got to look at this schedule. This was a bad team. Their schedule's not that daunting. They get a bunch of tough games at home. They get Carolina next, followed by the Broncos and the Chargers. So they could reel off 3 straight. You know, you struggled in Denver, no question about that. But Denver's got major injuries, especially to Von Miller. So Denver's pass rush isn't as formidable as it was.
Cam Newton and Bill Belichick are a great fit together in New England. Correct or crazy?
That's crazy. Now,
some crazy someplace else.
Toughest Patriots schedule ever. It's getting really hard starting now. At Seattle, he also had the fewest pass attempts of any quarterback and the fewest passing yards. This works against Miami, but they're going to win one way. Low scoring, ball control. That is easier said than done against Mahomes, the Bills. This schedule's tough. They're going to have to throw the ball down the field to win, and I just don't think this offense is built for it. I don't think they have the personnel to do it.
The Ravens look like they have the ability to go 16-0, correct or crazy?
That's correct.
That is correct.
Listen, they've won 13 straight games. Lamar Jackson's last eight games in the NFL. 8-0, 27 TDs and one pick. They don't appear, and I didn't think they were great in the first quarter against Cleveland. I didn't. They didn't run the ball very effectively. So I didn't think it was a dominating week one early in that game, but once they got going, they go downhill.
Baker Mayfield and the Browns offense will struggle this season, correct or crazy?
That is crazy.
I like you, but you're crazy.
Crazy. First of all, he plays in the next six games, he gets the Bengals twice. He's always played great against Cincinnati. Baker Mayfield's passer rating against the Bengals is over 100. They've got a very easy schedule this year, and they only face they just face four playoff teams from last year. That is tied for the fewest in the NFL. They're going to get healthy offensively tomorrow.
Packers offense will be elite this season, correct or crazy?
This is actually crazy. Minnesota returned. They lost five defensive starters from last year. Evers, Grifferson, Trey Waynes, the corner. I don't think Minnesota's defense is very good. We're just used to Minnesota's defense being real good. I don't think it is. It was not Sunday. Also, his passer rating has been below 100 in seven of his last nine games. It's all the same players. They don't have a number two wide receiver. You know, Devontae Adams twisted ankle. They're not a dynamic offense on the perimeter. They have a star receiver, one. So I think what you saw in week one will not be duplicated very much this year.
Joe Burrow will cruise to Rookie of the Year. Correct or crazy?
I think that's correct.
Correct the mundo.
Only one rookie started at quarterback in week one. So that's the position of note, and he got the start. I think Tua will play, but it'll be a while. Same with Justin Herbert. The Bengals, their schedule's tough, but when you're a last-place team, it's not that tough. And I do think this team, between Burrow and Mixon, they'll run the ball effectively against teams. So I just think he's going to be the most talked about, the most watched, and he'll have enough good Sundays that he's going to win that thing.
The Cowboys are too dysfunctional to win the NFC East.
Crazy. It's not a very good...
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
It's not a very good division. So, I mean, Washington look wonderful. The Giants look pathetic. Philadelphia's already falling apart. That's what they're prone to do. So, no, I mean, I think if you look at the Dallas Cowboys, they've got the components. Now, they're also, Dallas is 1-7 in their last one possession games. Some of that is bad luck. Like, remember last year, Green Bay was just great in one possession games. That is kind of random. Sometimes you win those, sometimes you lose those. Dallas has been on like an 8-game bad luck streak in close games. I predicted 8-8. I think they're within a game of that 9-7. This division, if Philadelphia can't get healthy again this year, they're probably going to win the division.
The 49ers might have a hangover after losing the Super Bowl, correct or crazy?
Crazy.
Sell crazy someplace else.
They've got cluster injuries. They just picked up Mohamed Sanu yesterday. Like, they're running out of receivers. Who did? Well, Richard Sherman just got hurt. They're falling apart. So, Jalen Hurd, receiver, good, out for the season. George Kittle, hurt. Richard Sherman now, hurt. Brandon Ayuk, the rookie, hurt. They just don't have any players. So, this is a very good team. If I said to you, capable quarterback, good head coach, top defensive line, that's a winning team. Now, cluster injuries derailed Philadelphia last year. Remember Seattle at the end of last year? It doesn't matter how good your coach and quarterback are. If you don't have people to throw to, and that division's got competent offenses, Seattle, Arizona, Los Angeles Rams. So now, it also, if you look at their schedule, three of their next four opponents, Jets, Giants, Eagles, Dolphins. So Jets, Giants are wins. They're 2-1. Because, by the way, the Jets are falling apart physically, too. They've lost two receivers in Le'Veon Bell. So just slow down. It's very possible San Francisco has a rough September, but it's also possible by October they're humming, they got their guys back, and they're fine. Clippers are done. Season's over.
It wasn't so rough on you today.
No, Nick Wright. If you didn't hear Nick Wright, go to the podcast. It was probably as feisty as Nick Wright's ever been.
Well, I mean, he deserves it. He went all in on that take, and it paid off.
Yeah, now Nick understands the value of takes, which is you got to go all in. When you're right, you're a genius. You know, the Baker Mayfield thing has paid off for me.
That was kind of it was definitely all in, but it was a slow play. You're much more patient with your takes.
I've called the patient taker in the industry. Seeing the check engine light turn on can give anybody anxiety. That's where Car Shield comes in. A wide range of protection plans. Don't freak out if the engine light comes on, the sensor light. You're okay. $99 a month is where they start. They don't trap you. No contract, no hidden fees, no long-term commitments. America's number one auto protection provider. That is CarShield. By the way, get 10% off today. Have peace of mind. Go to carshield.com, put in the code HERD, or call 800-665-2157. Mention the same code. A deductible may apply. 1 million drivers are protected in America at carshield.com. Most of us don't drive new cars. I drive to work. It's mostly used cars, even in flashy LA. Get protected, carshield.com. We'll see you tomorrow. The Herd.